Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is May 24th, 2021, and we have seven more days until we complete May 2021, everyone. We are coming off a two-episode week last week with episode 93 and 94, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada for the West Coast Produce Expo. Were you there? Well, if you weren't, take a listen to episode 94 and get a brief summary of what happened and some of the people that were attending the show. The Produce Industry Podcast had a booth and had a lot of great people that were on the show for a couple-minute interviews that will be coming back to do a full segment later in the year. And you can have a chance to meet some of these people. So this week, we have a virtual networking hour sponsored by Indianapolis Fruit Company. You want to meet a wholesaler? Come on board, check it out, get on our LinkedIn page, register for the event, and you can meet Indianapolis Fruit Company, May 26, 2021, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, in today's show, Daniel Corsar with Indianapolis Fruit Company is going to introduce David Rosenberg with me of Aero Farms. Now, he is the co-founder of this organization, a clean technology company that builds and operates advanced vertical farms in urban environments. We are going to learn more about Aero Farms today and learn about controlled environment agriculture, everyone. But first, let's get Daniel on the line, chat up for a few moments before we introduce our guest, David Rosenberg. Hey, Daniel, welcome back.
What's up, Patrick? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it's great. We are here introducing another great company here on the podcast. It's always great to have you on the line as well doing that. And I think that, you know, coming off a week of West Coast Produce Expo in Las Vegas, there's nothing better to talk about than some indoor farming methods. Don't you think, man?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the industry is definitely ripe for innovation and a challenge of the status quo, and indoor farming continues to be at the forefront of that discussion.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, we got Aero Farms, you know, they're one of the world's largest indoor farms, and the company's patented award-winning indoor vertical farming technology is going to blow your mind. I mean, I talked with David and it is going to really, he thinks it's revolutionizing the industry, right? I mean, it is. The CEA is taking over. Everybody's talking about how to have partners with indoor farming operations. And, you know, I just think it's cool that we've got people that are willing to talk about their operations and how they discuss looking at new ways on sustainability and growth in our produce industry.
I think the indoor farming aspect of the business certainly is ripe for, you know, a lot of iterations. And I don't think that where we're at today is where we'll be 5, 10, 20 years down the road, but excited to see all of the forward progress that those individuals can bring to the business.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's like Aero Farms was telling me, Earth is pushing back, man. There's limiting yields, you know, from previously generated farms. So, you know what? Let's just stop talking about it and let's get David on the line today. Hey, David, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Patrick, great to be with you.
Oh, it's fantastic, man. When I heard we were getting Aero Farms on the line today, I was really stoked and realized that how much the industry is coming together on just strategy and communication in regards to marketing our businesses in the produce and supply chain industry. So again, great to have you. And obviously a big shout out, you know, to Larissa Bruno at ICR for getting us connected, because sometimes we all know sending that DM on LinkedIn, David, it doesn't always work, right? The new cold calling always doesn't work. So it was fantastic that we had one of your associates get us in touch today, and just really overall fantastic to have you on the show, my man.
Thanks. Great to be here and like to share our story with your listeners. So happy. Let's get going.
Yes. Awesome. So Aero Farms. Okay. So this is something new to me, everyone. Again, I met David through a mutual colleague. So this is me just learning about Aero Farms, doing my research. As all of you know, it's all about education and dynamite content. So Aero Farms, one of the world's largest indoor farms. David, when I hear that, it's kind of like when you hear people say, oh, well, we're the third largest, we're the first largest. And doing some of my research on Aero Farms, wow. What a spectacular company. I know I got to ask you, we got to see, what's this 30,000 overview of Aero Farms? Because you're an award-winning indoor farm, vertical farming technology company. I mean, there's so much in regards to the microgreens, the leafy greens that you guys do. What can we share with our listeners so they can really, in the next 90 seconds, understand what Aero Farms is and does?
We have won a lot of awards. So I think over 50 to date, including Time Magazine's Best Company, fast company, most innovative companies in the food tech 500. I think we were ranked number one, number two in a stack ranking in the last 2 years. And we win awards on the innovation, on the environmental and societal impact, but most important, like what it delivers to the customer. That's what makes me excited. So we are a vertical farming company. We define vertical farming as layer upon layer of plant growth. We grow without sun, without soil. And plants don't need sun. They need they need spectrum at different intensities, at different frequencies. They don't need soil. They need nutrients and micronutrients. So in fully controlled agriculture, where we control all these environmental stresses, we're able to give the plant what it wants, when it wants it. And we can do it anywhere in the world, whether it's on the equator or the North Pole. So everyone has access to fresh, great tasting leafy greens or produce any time of the year.
Wait a minute. So you can pretty much grow food anywhere, like you said, whether it's the North Pole or if it's the subtropics, you're creating an environment where food can be sustainable is what you're saying.
Exactly. So, and it gets even better than that because it's not just about creating food, it's great food. So if you think of all the times people have eaten produce and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. And you ask the farmer why, and the answer is typically, well, the sun wasn't sunny enough, or it was too sunny, it was too hot, too humid, too cold, there was a lot too much rain, whatever it is. We first start with the plants. Like, what does a plant make? What does a great plant look like? What does a great plant taste like? And then what does the plant want to be great? And then how do you deliver greatness? So we have all these plant scientists, plant biologists, physiologists, pathologists, molecular biologists, microbiologists, that are looking at a plant and deciding what greatness is. And then the specification could be, let's take temperature, for example. It could be, hey, this plant wants between 67 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's a pretty narrow specification. Just if you think of the temperature out in a field, it might go from 60 to 100. In a greenhouse, I mean, from a climate change standpoint, we use the word the greenhouse effect because it comes from the greenhouse where it might get very hot in there. So here we're able to deliver a lot more specificity to the plant. And when we understand what a plant wants, to create not just yield, but great tastes and textures. So as a consequence, when customers eat our product, they consistently say, wow, this is the best tasting product they have. Our net promoter score is 55, which is one of the leading scores in the produce industry. Our units per sale per week are typically about 50% higher than others in our category. So the customers are voting with their feet, voting with their wallets, buying the product because the product tastes great. And as an example, like if you try our kale, people typically say, wow, this is the least bitter kale. And that's typically the knock on kale is how bitter it is, or the most tender kale. Or if you try our arugula, this is the most like peppery arugula. So how do we bring out these great tastes and textures in plants?
Oh, 100%. And one thing that I always love, but don't want to screw anybody up when I talk about it, but it's like your competitors. We see when you go to a grocery store, if you're a consumer listening, obviously you go down where the leafy greens is, where your spring mix is, right? There's a lot of different brands. And let's be real here, gents. There's normally only a couple brands within the grocery stores, right? Let's be real. We see them all the time. We know those big brands. So coming up with this, I would say, precision way of doing business in the agriculture industry, I think you're making a new way of delivering food. How does this compare to some of the competitors that are out there? So if I'm just going to go pick up a spring mix and someone says, you know, world's finest spring mix brought to you by XYZ company, I mean, how is Aero Farms making their stands in the industry to the consumers really about your product? I mean, how could we sell this product or want your product more than, you know, the standard brand that's out there, or the brand that everybody knows?
So to answer that question, I'll share why we got into leafy greens. And here it's because at its essence, most leafy greens are grown in an area on the West Coast, whether it's California or Mexico, and then it's distributed all over. And at its essence, our value proposition is local food production at scale. So really democratizing the manufacturing facility. So instead of growing in Salinas or San Joaquin in California or Mexico, farming closer to where the cities are. So that's one. And as a consequence of our current food production system, there's a tremendous amount of waste in the system, spoilage. So 100 pounds, for example, comes off a farm, only 40 pounds get eaten. So 60% of what we grow after it comes off a farm goes to spoilage. And we've all bought leafy greens and it's kind of slimy and then we throw it out. So yes. that was really intellectually the problem I set out to solve. And then if you unpack it further, food contamination. So the biggest category in food and food contamination is leafy greens, 11% actually. Salmonella, Listeria, E. coli, all of that. Different from that, we have probably what we think is operating the safest farm in the world. We clean the farm every day. We clean the towers about 26 times a year. So we're constantly sanitizing. And as a consequence, it's very safe. Also, as a consequence, we grow with zero pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. There are a lot of pesticides in the category of leafy greens. People also don't know that when they buy organics, they're typically buying organic pesticides. So these are, if you think of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, those are chemicals meant to kill things. And here, they're not meant for our human digestion. And we don't use organic pesticides, we use zero pesticides. So it's another category of clean product that we think really resonates with the customer, and they're saying it does. And then additionally, it's very high nutritional density. Think of Popeye eating its spinach. The most nutritionally dense of all food groups is leafy greens, nutrition per calorie of intake. And then finally, it's sold by weight, and the price points for our capital expense and operating expense, we could make money selling at the same price at the field farmer in the category of organic. So when people buy our product from Whole Foods, from ShopRite, from Fresh Direct, Amazon Fresh, Food Service, and Baldor, they're paying the same price as the field farmer in the category of organic. So we could make money without changing human behavior. Human behavior is always hard to change. We just have to tell our story. And frankly, the product tells the story for us. Once people try it, they love it and they buy it again.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then it creates a consistent, I would say, return. Because obviously when you're looking at farming, there's got to be, we look at it almost a return, per acre. Sometimes you break it down, you could break it down all the way to the tree, depending on how many trees you have per acre. But it's so true. I mean, it's about that consistency of the product. I think that's why people love certain brands too, because they're always consistent. And, you know, even backing up a little bit, as I was thinking about citrus, you know, my organization is involved in citrus, and it's exactly what you said. You know how many times every 8 years we're talking about a freeze, right? We're going, oh my gosh, if we have a freeze this year in the Central Valley of California, you know, what are we going to do? And then as soon as the winter's over, what are we saying, David? Okay, we need that cool spring to mix in with that hot summer to make sure we've got the prime juicy orange coming in October, November. These are all things that are external factors to our business that obviously can really disrupt the supply chain. If it's too hot, if it's too cold, if there is a freeze, if we don't spray the right pesticides, like if you want to go to China with some of your fruit, you've got to spray copper, you know, on the trees. You got to skirt the trees, right? I mean, these are all things that, you know, the traditional consumer doesn't see behind the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. But this is the things that we see, and you have to be able to manage that.
Yeah, I totally agree, Patrick. So here, I mean, the qualities that we compete on, I mentioned, are really for the consumer, and that's taste, texture, consistency, pesticide-free, price. But beyond that, for the retailer, then it's really consistency. And so they don't have that variability of where do I need to order from next. So we always are able to deliver for the retailers. And that is not just consistency of product and quality, but also price, consistency of price. So it's really increasing the dynamic. They have less waste in their stores, and it's improving the connection with both the consumer as well as the retailer. We sell, by the way, under our brand Aero Farms and another brand that we own, Dream Greens. We sell both.
I love the Dream Greens. When I was researching your website and I saw that, it's like, meet our local produce brand, Dream Greens. I do love that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to talk about branding a little bit more after we hear from some of our sponsors here at the Produce Industry Podcast. So let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and be right back.
Welcome to Terra Exports, a fast-paced, entrepreneurial, and innovative multinational fresh produce company with 8 divisions worldwide that handle fruits and vegetables across 65 countries. Did you know that Terra Exports was featured 3 times in Inc. 5000's fastest-growing companies? Terra Exports starts at the ground, literally, with the growth of the product at the farm all the way through distribution channels up into the end user. They take pride in their products arriving fresh and damage-free, and they're there every step of the way, working alongside suppliers and customers who share in their common goal. Visit Terra Exports at www.terraexports.com, as well as following them on social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. If you get on their website, you can also check their availability calendars and all of the produce that they have in store. When you join Terra Exports, you become a member of their global team of thinkers, innovators, dreamers, and doers who are bringing a fresh approach to the produce and supply chain industry. So reach out to Terra Exports today at terraexports.com. Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag Tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast. It's always great to hear from some of those sponsors. And have you checked out United Fresh's Reimagine Education Sessions? Listen, they're happening all summer long, so you have to check them out. I'm enrolled, so you will see me there on some of those Zoom calls, and I can't wait to forward progress Zoom and in person throughout the rest of the year. Now let's get back to talking with David Rosenberg of Arrow Farms. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Patrick.
Listen, before the break, you dropped some heavy knowledge on me where you talked about taste. We talked about consistency. We talked about branding. You've got the Dream Greens. I keep thinking the Dream Team. We've got the Michael Jordan of like leafy greens and microgreens coming up. That's the kind of, you know, where I went with it. You can't see me, everyone, but I'm smiling from ear to ear because this is the kind of stuff that just that I love about the produce industry and really making a difference. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about branding, David, because, you know, with the produce industry being stuck that we're commodity based and a lot of companies just now getting into 2021, starting to market their companies. Heck, David, I met a company the other day that said they are 92 years in business and just started their first marketing department slash budget. For a guy like yourself, a company like yourself, it had to be about branding. I mean, you weren't just going to call this David Rosenberg LLC, David's Greens. I mean, what was your thought process when you were thinking about this microgreen and leafy green community and developing a brand for our industry?
I mean, starting off, it was not top of mind, actually. It was mostly about the technology. How do we grow great plants? And my biggest surprise is we're competing on taste and texture. And there is not, in our opinion, a distinctive brand in leafy greens. And once we realized we have more distinct taste and textures, better taste and textures, we're winning on quality, then we realized maybe there is an opportunity to differentiate on brand. And retailers started, we were talking to some parties about private labeling. And then the retailers actually, along with us, we came to the decision, as they did, that no one's going to tell our story better than us. So we should tell our story. At first, we thought that there might be a negative reaction to vertical farming. So we didn't hide it, but we didn't lead with it. So we came up with the brand Dream Greens, and Arrow Farms and our story at Arrow Farms was on the back of the label. And now it turns out that the world's changed in the last 5 years, and people want to know the how, not just the what. So how we farm. So now more than ever, we're leading with AeroFarm. So we're actually twilighting our Dream Greens brand, which was very successful. It was a hard decision, but we're going to twilight it and really emphasize AeroFarms. So people want to understand how we grow. How do we grow with zero pesticides? How do we get the better taste, better textures? So tell that story. So we're converging our brands going forward and relaunching in about May.
Oh, that's cool though. I mean, listen, you said it to what the entire industry normally does. They focus on the brand later. But as you know, even in retail, we've got so many retailers today that are asking for a private label. And you said something very key. Listen, everybody, taste and texture. When you have key fundamental elements that really differentiate your business, you're able to have your own brand. And I think that's what probably makes this a lot different. And you said that in the beginning of our show, you were kind of like, hey, when you get your leafy greens or your microgreens, you talked a little bit about that slimy texture, you know, what happens when that does happen. So if you've got the taste, you've got the texture, you've got the freshness, that a brand plays, you know, really high into this. And I know a lot of times we don't think about that, David, but obviously as a consumer, when we keep seeing that local brand or that national brand all the time, it almost brainwashes us that when we see something new, we're like, oh my gosh, where's the big brand at? And we don't think local sometimes. So I definitely think that branding has a key part to play in this, as long as you have that differentiation within that product.
Agreed. And it's what is exciting is people are interested, like I said, in the how. So here, inviting them deeper in that story, like we could change the properties of a plant just by changing, for example, the spectrum and intensity and frequency that it gets. We could change it by changing the spacing of the seeds next to each other. And there's all this, like when we say we grow a plant now, we used to grow a plant on average in 20 days. Now we grow it in 14 days. So now that allows us 26 crop turns a year. Every time we have a crop turn, that's a learning. So we're as much a data science company as everyone else. So how we stress a plant, grow it in different ways to learn more, people are fascinated by that. And they understand the benefits. Like if we could grow a plant using less water, the environmental side, if we're not like depleting the soils of nutrients and adding pesticides there, they want to hear that story. They want to understand about our social impact, our environmental impact, as well as how we optimize plant health. So AeroFarms, we believe as a brand leading with that, we're able to tell our story much more effectively.
I agree. I 100% agree with you. And I think that it's very key about your business. Now let's talk about people. Listen, when a time that the world's population is going through so much change, there's the demand for food is changing, right? I mean, there's so many things happening. Increasing food production is a must. I mean, we saw in 2020 that some of the shelves were empty. Some people were so scared, they went and started panic buying. So I know that even traditional farms are producing less yields, like you've said, due to the actual weather conditions. So, I mean, talk about sustainability and growing enough food for the world. You know, how does AeroFarms play a factor in that? I mean, how are you looking to really supply and keep producing over the next, you know, decades to come?
Yes. Yeah, so several points to make. One is we by no means present that vertical farming or AeroFarms is the solution to the world's agriculture problem. So true. I firmly believe that field farming has its place for some crops in some parts of the world, some time of the year. Same thing with greenhouses, some crops, some parts of the world, some time of the year. But I would also argue that vertical farming has its place for some crops, some time of the world, some places of the world. And vertical farming's place is going to grow and grow. As the cost, just think of how many LEDs are in your home now versus 5 years ago. So as the cost of LEDs go down, and that's the single biggest capital cost of our farms, as the operating costs go down as well, the number of crops that we are relevant in and impact the world in is going to expand. So to date, AeroFarms has grown about 550 different varieties of plants over that amount. And we're constantly going to grow more, grow them, fruits and vegetables, not just leafy greens, very different types of crops, grow those plants better. Like we've grown 50 different types of berries to date. We announced this past week a relationship with Hortifruit, the world's largest blueberry, best blueberry producer. So we're growing lots of different crops and figuring out how to bring these crops to market and utilize our platform. So what's a platform? That's our ability to understand biology, to influence the plant through the mechanical systems, pumps, lights, frames, airflow, CO2, all those elements, as well as the operational part, the environmental part, even the genetics, optimizing genetics, and the data science, the software that pulls it all together. So how do we use our platform to grow new crops, grow them better, while reducing capital costs, reducing operating costs, so people have more accessibility to great fresh food? And here, by the way, for your listeners, we invite others to join us on our journey. Just like we have a partnership with Hortifruit that we announced, we have lots of partnerships with different field farmers, different parties in the industry, so we could solve problems together, move faster together. There's lots of opportunities for collaboration. We have collaboration all over the place.
That's awesome. I mean, I did see that on a press release about the blueberries. I mean, those are things that I think that we do need. I mean, with so many changes, like you said, I mean, go back to the external factors of weather. I mean, that is a big cause. I saw the other day, and it might have been one of your guys' posts, but it's like it's snowing outside, but then you go into the indoor farming and everybody's in not natural clothes, but in their smocks and everything. Like, it's not negative 16 degrees outside, right? I mean, these are things. Blueberries can't grow in those conditions, right? I mean, there's so many that they can't. Let me ask you one quick question before we end this.
Could I just on the environmental side, like, the world's lost 30% of its farmland in the last 40 years. By some estimates, over 70% of our fresh water goes to agriculture. Over 70% of our fresh water contamination comes from agriculture. So we really have to start innovating together, whether it's fully controlled agriculture, field farmers, and really solve problems together.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I definitely do. And then some commodities that obviously are all, let's be real, they're all imported into the United States. I mean, I know a lot of our asparagus comes from Chile. I mean, let's be real, it comes from Peru. A lot of imports come from there. So it'd be nice to also see the vertical farming world in this space, developing products for the United States. Not saying we don't need to import, but it'd be nice to control some of that supply ourselves and be able to sustain consistency in taste, texture, right, and pricing throughout the United States and more, right? Even if we decide to export it. I think that that's really cool that you're open to work with a lot of different organizations, because I'll tell you, a lot of people, when I'm talking to you, consumer, they just don't know where their food comes from, David. They really don't. So they just assume that a pineapple might be grown in Texas somewhere, David, right? But we all know that, you know, pineapples come from the subtropical climate, whether it's Hawaii, whether it's Honduras, whether it's Panama, or the largest being Costa Rica, and then in the Philippines. But if you were to ask somebody, like, hey, how's a pineapple grown? They're like, well, where's the tree at? Well, there's no pineapple tree, you know, right? It's these are things that people don't understand. So I think that's very cool that you're leading into that and becoming really an innovator in that space to grow and bring on new commodities. So that's very cool in what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thanks.
So without a doubt, Arrow Farms, world's largest indoor farming operations, innovation, entrepreneurship, and just overall transforming the agriculture industry as a whole. David, I have had a pleasure being on the phone with you today. If anybody wants to reach out, get a hold of yourself or the Arrow Farms team, how can they go about doing that today?
Well, they could certainly follow us on Twitter. They could connect with us via LinkedIn or follow us on LinkedIn. And we share a lot of news, a lot of media that way. Our website has a lot of information, arrowfarms.com. So we're happy to connect with you. My name is David Rosenberg. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn as well. But we want to partner with people. We want to move fast, and we want to certainly connect with thought leaders in your audience.
Awesome, David. Again, I appreciate you coming on the show today. I look forward to trying some of Arrow Farms' micro and leafy greens here in the near future and getting a good review on the Produce Industry Show as well on YouTube. David, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I look forward to meeting you hopefully in person in 2021.
Excellent, Patrick. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.